Grade 7 Conference, Lecture A, an overview of the 7th grade curriculum. You're going to be dealing with 7 or 8 major subjects this year. To enumerate them, history, which is in itself quite a vast topic this year, requiring a lot of choices and important decisions. Human physiology, mathematics, language arts, geography, chemistry, a new laboratory science, physics, and perspective drawing. Before I go into the specifics of those subjects, I want to reiterate something that I say every year in these online conferences and pretty much wherever I go and am asked to speak about the overview of the Waldorf grade school, that there is a significant difference in grades that are odd-numbered and grades that are even-numbered. And I like to refer to the Chinese aphorism that the even numbers are numbers of the earth and odd numbers are numbers of heaven. I think that has many ramifications, many far-reaching implications as we look at our work, that indeed there are two salient points about every grade. The grade is either a contracting, inwardizing, deepening grade, or it is an externalizing, outward-directed grade that helps the child take what they've learned and to bring it into the world. And I would say here that the odd grades, these heavenly cosmic grades, as we like to say anthroposophically, tend to be more inward in nature, more introspective, even more introverted, relatively speaking, whereas the even number grades tend to be more external, more outgoing in nature. Secondly, it seems that Rudolf Steiner himself explicitly or implicitly followed this line of thinking by making the odd-numbered grades very integrated from a curricular point of view. Now, this is with due recognition that the curriculum has changed, that particularly in the United States, we've let some things go, we've added a number of things, and have really affected, when you look at Stockmeyer and read what Steiner actually said, it's astonishing how different it is. Nonetheless, the general mood, the general tenor of each grade, I think, remains true to Steiner's curricular indications, and we find a more tightly integrated curriculum in those odd grades. If you think of grade one, everything was built up very strongly around the fairy tale mood, you know, whether you taught numbers, whether you taught nature stories, whether you were bringing language arts to the children, it was all out of those fairy tale and elemental being characters. In grade two, on the other hand, we see in the even-numbered grades less integration. Subjects that sometimes seem to be quite opposed to one another, and at other times at least seem to bear only a tangential relationship to each other. It's as though in those grades, Steiner is following Goethe's ditem of God gave us the nuts, but he will not crack them for us. So in the even-numbered grades, you find perhaps a greater degree of freedom, and teachers often take liberties with that. For example, in grade two, you have the great polarity of saint stories and fables. How to bring those two together? Well, because again, you've got that kind of looseness of relationship, growing numbers of teachers in the United States, particularly in charter schools for obvious reasons, have been pulling away from teaching the classical saints, St. Christopher, St. Brendan, St. Columba, St. Francis, whatever, and instead are bringing in good people who might be labor union leaders of the 1960s or peace activists of the 1980s or so. You feel there's more freedom in the even-numbered grades. Whether we are bringing responsibility to bear on that freedom is another matter. Grade three, tight integration again. The Old Testament, now again, we have with the Hebrew Scriptures a single theme, a single work of literature that permeates everything, and we see how the sons of Cain bring the archetypes of building and farming and crafts and so on, all of which then are made manifest in the various practical arts classes that we have. How we might say Yahweh creates time and space, and certainly we're working with time and space and measurement in grade three. And there again, this is a year where the children are given a lot of food for thought. They take it in. They cannot always speak directly or openly about the impression, the deep, powerful impression that many of these stories are making on them. So it's an inwardizing year. Grade four, it's as though that holding back, that the inhibiting quality of the Hebrew Scriptures now needs a requisite explosion, an outgoing year, and very much a curriculum that matches, where you have Norse myths and local geography. You have the beginnings of natural science with zoology, somewhat related to Norse myths. But on the other hand, how is all of that related to fractions? So once again, you've got a collection of different subjects that don't necessarily have a common theme, that don't carry the integration of the odd-numbered grades. And then we have grade five, in which the study of history leads to the continuous metamorphosis of historical themes as we go to one culture, see its rise, its zenith, and then watch its inevitable decline, only to be taken up in the culture that follows, perhaps in an oppositional way, but nonetheless, you can sense that golden thread is still there. How are human beings relating to earthly life? How are they relating to divine life? And we might say that the natural science taught that year, botany, with its stress on metamorphosis and growth, with its stress on life in the polarities of light and darkness, that relates so beautifully to the study of history that year. And now geography becomes a broader, wider picture as we start to go further afield into the native land at that time. So we can feel in grade five a kind of aesthetic harmony in the subjects that the children study. And with the plant in particular, the mute plant, a quietness is able to come over a class that might have been quite wild and very outgoing in grade four. And then we go to grade six, even number, outwardly directed extroversion. And here certainly the sixth grade crisis, the taking on of one's individual karma, these definitely have an inwardizing correlative to them. But no question, that the class is all ready to go out into the world in a Roman way. They want to march. They want to be active. They're getting stronger. They're looking for new challenges. And the curriculum from many perspectives, many sides, brings this, and particularly begins to bring this ongoing quality of polarization, of a division, a two-ness that must again and again be solved, be harmonized, or at least be lived with. And now we come to grade 7. It's an odd grade, so we should expect a cosmic quality. It's an odd grade, so we should expect a kind of going within, an inwardizing quality that's going to be there. And it's an odd grade, so we should expect that there will be a wonderfully integrated curriculum. And I think as you will see this year, as you experience your class anew, that all of these expectations will be fulfilled. Now, of course, as you go up the grades and the children get more individualized and also are dealing with more personal issues and changes and circumstances that are beyond their control, all of these things will bring multiple exceptions to the rule at any given time. But if you look at the class as a whole, if you look at the dynamic of the students with each other, you will see how many things are going on in a very quiet way. And in fact, because of this inwardizing, you as the teacher have to be especially vigilant. You have to be sure that things are just not passing by you, that you're perhaps as an easygoing male, not noticing all kinds of things that the children are getting away with. Perhaps as an understanding, very tolerant female teacher, you are not seeing that children are bringing things to you which really are problematic, and not just a little bit of a passing phase. So one has to be vigilant, and here the curriculum helps us, because there's so much within it that is asking for the students to be expressive, helping the students take a courageous step from carrying something within to having the courage to present it to the class. And this is particularly where the creative writing block, also called wish, wonder, and surprise, is such a central part of the year, that the children's writing is of critical importance. No less important, however, is also their artistic work. Once again, you don't just want it to be copying from you, and you don't just want it to be the kind of fourth grade scribbles that some boys in particular, and some of the girls as well, may have been continuing because you haven't given them enough guidance and supervision. And you'll see that we pay special attention to that in this conference. Helping the students use drawing now also as a means of self-expression, of self-empowerment. So all of this is very critical. And one has the wonderful integrating principle of the Renaissance. So in the Renaissance, we find the great artists, and we will put a renewed emphasis on art this year. In the Renaissance, we look deeply at the origins of modern science, of the scientific method, natural science altogether. And we have physics that we go into more deeply. Chemistry, a completely new branch of science for us. We now, like the Renaissance scientists, look at the human being. We exhume those corpses, although the church may prohibit it, and we open up the human body for the first time since ancient times. After hundreds of years of prohibition, the human body is opened up and looked at in a completely new way. So here, physiology is a right subject to take. And perspective drawing, which according to Steiner, the discovery of the laws of perspective really is the clarion call that the age of the consciousness soul has begun. So here again, another subject that's completely integrated with the overriding theme of the Renaissance. So seventh grade in that respect, in terms of the odd grades and in terms of the integrated grades, is absolutely the jewel in the crown and a very, very exciting, very beautiful year to study. We'll look at it from a few different perspectives in the next lecture.